I gotta sell this crappy car, man.
That's what you were telling me. So what's going on with it? You got someone to come and look at it at one?
Yeah, I got another person coming. They're all flaky though. Like, you sell anything on Facebook Marketplace now, like half of them are scammers, half of them are just full of it.
I know. It's funny because like my wife's actually been, you know, with me basically not having a job, she's been all over this Facebook Marketplace now. Like, this looks like a really good deal for $10. I'm like, I mean, it is a pretty good deal for $10. Are you sure it's real? You know?
Yeah. Well, tell her to start selling more stuff. She can be on the other side of it.
Forty chess, yeah. 40 chess, huh? 40 chess, let's get it.
Yo, is that Tito?
40 chess, huh? 40 chess. Chess, this a trade show. Patreon where the trades go. Tap in and watch, that's what you came for. Ain't gotta say my name, they know my name, bro.
What's good, man?
We got McNutted in ATM. Always start off the show with a trade from them. You should always make sure that your trade is in Patreon, why not be a Patreon? Know you wish you could spend every day with them. Tap in and say what you gonna say with them. Stop homing, can fill up a stadium. Next time you log in, make sure that you bring a friend. We about to kick off, let the day begin. Go follow the show. 40 chess FF is posted. If your trade is an F, you get roasted. Go like and subscribe for the crew. Apple, Spotify, and the YouTube. You know Cooper got the walk too. Let us give you a walkthrough. 40 chess. This is 40 chess.
Yeah, my wife's more of a buyer than a seller. Actually, we have probably a bunch of stuff here, Mike, that would be worth trying to get rid of, frankly. Yeah. But your flakiness, or the buyer's flakiness of what you're telling me, is making me a little worried on it, you know?
Well, it's a piece of crap Impala, right? It's a work
Impala
car.
Okay.
Yeah. 2008.
Oh, this is the one you take to work. All
right. Yeah. Junk, right? It still runs and drives. Just does what it is. It's like 250,000 miles or whatever the hell's on
Damn,
it.
Damn, man. That's up there.
It's still going, though, right?
It's an A to B car, right?
Yeah, it ain't asking much. That's $1,600.
It's not a high warp car. You know,
it's it's not.
It's a very replaceable level
car. I'm asking waiver wire prices for it.
You want some fab.
Yeah, give me some fab. And, like, I had a dude come look at it yesterday, and then he hit me back this morning. As soon as I got up, he was like, well, it's got a little crack in the windshield, and the muffler's, like, going... I'm like, I don't want to put any money into it. And I'm like, you're not really anyways, because it's a $1,600 car. Like, all right. You get what you pay for, man. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
All right. Let's say that, you know, you're trying to sell it to me. Let's say I'm not one of these flaky people yet.
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking here? What are we asking for this car?
$1,600. That's it.
All right. Running a car for under $2,000 in general, yep, is it's a W, pretty much, I'd say. You know,
you want to negotiate a little bit? Fine. Like, listen, $1,200 bucks out the
right
door. Just take it. Get it out of my driveway.
Listen,
here's,
it's not $1,600 fixed. All right, we can negotiate on this. It's not a this isn't a quarterback horde I got going here. You know,
no. But you know that kind of market. You know, some people are like, this is going to be their primary car, and I'm like, I don't know if you're the one who wants to buy this.
your question is what? How far is your normal commute? Like 3 miles? All right, cool.
Speaking of buying stuff, it's rookie season, Adam. Time to dive into rookie hit rates part two. We did part one last week.
I want all the rookies, Mike. I want
all
every single one.
All of them. We did last week. We did part one. Just looking at 1 year data. Now we got 3 year. 3 year. Again, shout out to DB for this. Adam, you ready for this?
DB's a goat for this. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I'll say this. Last week was pretty awesome. So if we're trending, you know, in that direction, I couldn't be more excited for this one, man. Let's get it.
So, again, DB's got data going all the way back to 2007. We're doing off of warp hit rates. Warp hit rates. Okay? So DB went back to and he took the average, you know, the average of warp to be at each of these positions, top six. He's got top 12, top 24, top 36, and top 48. So he took the average, what the average warp was for each one of those to hit those thresholds. And then he looked at rookies and 3-year windows. First 3 seasons. How about this? So in the first 3 years, I'm going to start with the easiest one, Adam. Let's look at wide receivers. And let's look at the top 48 hit rates. Right, so a rookie comes in. Listen, if you can't be top 48-ish in warp in your first 2 years, I'm looking at you like Drake London, right? Like, he barely meets this threshold. JSN, these are the kind of examples of it.
I was going to say, JSN probably barely crept in, right?
Yeah. So these are the kind of guys,
a guy like Traylon misses, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's your differentiator, okay?
It's, exactly.
It's dead and alive is what we're talking about here.
So we're talking about just maintaining value, right?
Right.
When we talk about wide receivers, because it's so deep and there's so many good ones that come in, right? But we don't necessarily just write you off if you can't, you know, basically be top 50. We'll round up here for you, but it's top 48.
Right. No, I get it. Okay. I like this. Let's get it.
All right. So your total number of wide receivers since 2007 to do it, to be top 48 in their first 3 seasons, 105.
Okay.
105.
Okay.
The number of ones that came from the first round, Adam, 35 of those guys.
Really?
Yep. First round of the NFL draft, 35.
Only 35 of the 105. That's interesting.
Round 2, 26. Round 3, 16. Round 4, 9. Round 5, 6. Round 6, 3. And round 7, 1. It's your first 3 years. So just looking at the total raw numbers, Adam, it just tells me, I go, you better be have a day one or two draft capital.
That's
a wide receiver for me to care about you.
I'm not, you know, I can do some counting, hands and toes even, but I couldn't get all of it. But if you do the first two, give me those day one and two, so round 1, 2, and 3 again.
35, 26, and 16.
I mean, you're talking, that's got to be like north of 80% of all of them.
Yeah. Yep. You're, so in your first 3 seasons, right, 61% of the wide receivers drafted in round one hit this.
Wow. So you're telling me basically 2/3. That's interesting. Wow.
37% of the wide receivers drafted in round two hit this mark in their first 3 years. 22% of the round three guys hit it. And after that, it gets really bad. 13 for round four, 5 for round five, 4% for round six, 1% for round seven. And your UDFA is only doing it at a 3% clip. Meaning that once you get past, like, your firewall should really be round four. Round four, it's still not good at 13%, Adam. But at least, I don't know, you could tell yourself a story, right? Maybe they'll be top 48 one time in their first 3 years.
Yeah.
If you can't hit top 48 in your first 3 years, oh my God.
Well, I mean, Mike, frankly, to the point of this, 3 years, I mean, I'm looking for you to hit that top 48 probably in your rookie season. Now, if you just miss or something, and year two is a lot better, but if you told me this is even 2 year sample size, you're not top 48 in warp, Mike, in 2 seasons, I'm probably already booking you a face planter ticket, you know.
Well, if you want to look at it this way too, here's some other numbers. If you just want to look at round one guys, there's been 57 wide receivers drafted in round one, and if you want to say only 35 of them have hit this top 48 warp threshold in their first 3 years. I mean, you want to look at it that way.
I mean, but that's telling you that over half, you know, 2/3 almost, are hitting this number in their first round picks. That's telling you, yep, an overwhelming majority are, you know, this doesn't even make you, for the record, Mike, top 48 in warp, this doesn't even make you a good receiver, a relevant receiver. This just makes you, like, on the face of the earth, basically.
Treading water, basically, right?
Yeah.
I drafted this guy in the first round of my rookie draft, or early part of the second round. So this would be like Xavier Leggett, for example. We'll put him in this bucket for this year.
Okay.
In his first 3 years, Xavier Leggett maybe finishes 47th, 46th, 45th, something in that range. Mm-hmm. Is he just like holding value, right? Like,
I would say him
you're usable.
He's probably holding value at best. He might even lose just a touch, only because I bet you a lot of it, I think, is circumstantial for what the community views. Like, Xavier Leggett right now's viewpoint is there ain't shit in his way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that. Now, a guy like Ricky P does it, Mike. If they don't trade Debo and Ayuk, and people are like, okay, you know, maybe he even goes up a little bit. But Leggett feels like he has a path to a ton of targets in his realm of possibilities. I'm with you, though. He would probably tread water, maybe lose a touch, but he's doing enough to let you know he doesn't suck. He's not Terrace Marshall, right? He's not Jonathan Mingo, not making this list. That's the point.
All right, so let's look at this from two different perspectives, right? So this is three-year data for wide receivers at top 48. And this is what we're going to focus on primarily first. A guy like Rome Odunze. This is telling you, if you draft Rome Odunze, what the chances of him having a top 48 season in the first 3 years are. Okay. Could you say for him, like, he would hold value? He would first, 100%. Second year, it's JSN like, right? It's which is funny because he's got the same offense coordinator and he goes into the same situation, kind of being the third wheel or the third wide receiver.
I feel like you know what's interesting, Mike? If we look at JSN, he's almost the quintessential person to talk about for this right now. Like, he did enough to where people aren't like, oh, he sucks.
Panicking, yeah.
But there are some people that are like, ah, and you really dig deep and you look at his numbers. Mm-hmm. He didn't quite meet all the real threshold numbers we want to see. So he, like, treaded water. He probably has lost a touch in value in startups, I'd bet. Like, basically same range. It's very much to what we're talking about here. I think maybe probably treading water, maybe a little bit down because all the incoming rookies now, right? But, Mike, I think if Rome did it, you know what would be so funny about it is I think everybody would point to JSN's situation, and Rome's value would almost be tied to what JSN does this year. So, for example, if JSN does well this year, people are like, okay, yeah, it's cool with Rome. But if JSN is not it, people are like, oh, man, Rome Odunze could be on the JSN path. And it's almost like those two would be hinged value-wise. Now, I do think Rome's draft capital and, you know, prospect profile are better than JSN's, but point still stands of, you know, in general, I think he would have a lot of tie to what JSN does.
All right. Well, let's look at it then for your total samples and just look at rookie year warp for top 48, because we didn't touch on this part the last one. We didn't have this top 48 metric. So now let's go back to the Xavier Leggett thing. What is the likelihood of a rookie in their rookie year hitting top 48, right? Even getting into this JSN conversation and not losing it. That's just looking at 3 years. So historically, just in your rookie year, if you were drafted in round one as a wide receiver, you have a 33% chance.
I was going to say if you half that. So it's actually a little more than halving. So 1 out of 3 instead of 2 out of 3 now. Okay.
So Xavier Leggett has a 1 out of 3 chance of just, you know, even just treading water.
Now,
but he also has a 2 out of 3 chance of just like, oh my God, you were wide receiver 60-something.
I don't know. I feel like we may have touched on this, but if we didn't, Mike, so what that is, again, that would be with 7 first-round receivers. So we're looking at, based on numbers, the likelihood of anywhere from 2 to 3 of these guys making this list.
Yeah. The Ricky Pearsalls.
Ricky Pearsall's probably... Ricky Pearsall's going to be probably RIP for this list if they don't move Debo or Ayuk.
Right. But then you can go and you can tell yourself a story about Ricky Pearsall, and you can tell yourself the story about, listen, 3 years.
Of course. I'm just talking about for the first year, but yeah, 100% agree.
So if you establish it in year one, right, you're good. You're good. Like, okay, you're JSN at worst. You're good. All right, we saw something.
What's we're the good. Likelihood in year two? Is that what we're going to?
Then you go to year two. Year two. This is where the three-year chart comes in.
Okay.
Now, if you can't do it in 3 years, holy hell, what's going on?
I'm on the edge of my seat. What do we got for year two? Talk to me, Mike.
So, like, some of these, so for year two, this is something I'll get DB to add to it. We could, he's got to do a lot of manual work to do it. So you guys got to sweet talk DB.
DB, this is what we do, okay? We start off by giving you your crops just so we can really highly critique your entire work throughout the entire podcast. We appreciate you, buddy.
So you start off with a year one. He can get that one. He gets a 3-year sample size. That's good. I'm sure he's got some data or he's got a good way of pulling, but he can tell you what happens in year two, which is, hey, maybe we'll have a part three of this one down the road. You guys got to sweet talk DB. Really sweet talk him.
DB, we need it. All right.
We need it. That's just wide receivers. And the stark contrast between year one hits and 3-year hits, right? It looks a little bit rosier. But we're also talking about a very bottom threshold. Let's jump up to top 36, Adam. This is a wide receiver 3.
This is more where I probably care, though, frankly.
Gotcha. Yep. Yep. There's not all the hypotheticals about value hits. It's actually proven. Right, dude was wide receiver 33. All right. We know.
Yeah. And by the way, to give context to this, Drake London seemingly underwhelmed 2 years in a row, Mike. He was wide receiver 31 and 37 in the first 2 years. So basically, by technicality, he may have missed this list in year two. But point is, he's right on that. And that's not asking for that much, frankly.
Nope.
That's like 800 yards and a couple touchdowns, probably.
Nope. Your sample size, 26 wide receivers in round one have hit this threshold of top 36 in their first 3 years.
And how many did you say total? We had 57?
57.
That's basically a little under half then?
46%. Hit rate for round one drafted wide receivers.
Okay. So you're telling me I got, you know, close to a half. So
50-50.
That's, Mike, I'll tell you what, though. I want to draft some first round receivers based on this data. Like, you know?
Yep. Your round two guys, 29% clip. So 20 out of 70. Your round three guys, 16%, 12 out of 73. And then it goes to single digits after that. So all those Troy Franklin, Javon Baker bets, probably not good. Not good bets. I think for me, that pretty much just, you mean if you draft them, you draft them because you like them. And you have a player take, but you need to be honest about it. Probably bad process. Wouldn't you say if you're only hitting at a 6% or a 7% clip, that's pretty terrible.
Correct.
you're going into the casino and just gifting them money. Like you're playing the games that are really bad odds. Not even like the ones where they're, you know, the house has like a 2% advantage. You're playing the ones where the house has a 95% advantage. that's not good. Those aren't the games you go play at the casino, Adam. Right? There's a reason you play blackjack because you feel a little bit more in control, right? You play right. Poker because you feel a little bit more in control.
You feel like you have some kind of a part of you. Part of what happens exactly?
You might as well go to a roulette table that only has, you know, a 5% chance of you winning at all. Everything else just says fuck you. You get to put one chip down on one thing, and it's a 5% hit, and you're like, I know it. I know it. That Javon Baker's going to be special. That Troy Franklin's going to be special. No. Stop it. Go play the other games. Those other games are better. So anytime like you see this, specifically with this class, like the argument, Javon Baker over Jalen Polk. From what data are you pulling that from? From what?
From your film data.
That's it.
That would be correct? I mean, is that... Well,
from your hot take.
You actually are using data, right?
Yeah. That's
true.
Fair. It's just a gut feel. But be honest about where it comes from.
Which, by the way, I think that's okay. I'm fine if you're telling me that you have a gut feel or whatever. But don't try to act like it's more than that, right?
Yeah. Just be honest with it. Okay. It's kind of like the Saquon Barkley thing for me this year. Where I say, like, yeah, should you trade Saquon for, you know, somebody will say, like, the 108, 109. Yes, you should. You should. I will not because I have this feeling. I have this passion for Saquon. Like, it's bad process for me to do it, but I'm going to do it anyways. But you got to be honest about it. Don't try to dousey it up and wrap pig shit in a fancy bow.
Listen, Mike, this is one of my friends told me this a while ago, right? You know, you can do a lot of stuff, fancy shit with it, right? You could put onions, speaking of onions, like the trade show, you could put peppers, all the dressings, condiments. But guess what? At the end of the day, it's still a hot dog, right? Don't try to fucking sell it like it's something other than a hot dog at the end of the day, no matter what you put on it.
All right, what about the guys in their rookie year? 24% of the wide receivers will do this in their rookie year, drafted in round one. Only 10% of the guys drafted in round two will do it, and then it gets really abysmal.
And that 24% was for which number again, just for clarification for everyone listening?
To hit top 36 in their rookie year.
Okay. Oh, got it. So you said 46% in the first 3 years.
3 years.
24%. So one out of four will do it in their first year.
We almost have it again when you go to look at just doing it in your rookie year.
Got it.
Crazy. Crazy. But if you do it in your rookie year, like you're Drake London, like you're good. Like you get a pass, right? Like you get a pass. 31, good enough.
Yeah, I also think like, I think for this exercise, at least for me, we can go through it later, but if you don't make that 36 list in your rookie season, Mike, I'm already concerned. Now, I'm not telling you I'm dead off of you. Like JSN, for example, right?
Yep.
But you better tell me there's a scenario and there's some reasons I can point to that say, all right, I can understand the excuses that are going to get made. Most people, if you're not making that top 36 list, Mike, I'm probably already feeling like, all right, can I move off of you at this fucking value? Because we're treading the wrong way, right?
Yep. All right, now let's tighten the threshold a little bit. Let's go to top 24.
Now we're talking different. Well, maybe not even difference maker, but we're talking producer, right? Best ball, we're talking, this is money, man. This tier is money in best ball.
Now we really started to tighten the screws. So you have 20 wide receivers out of 57 drafted in round one. So you dropped the sample by six, okay? So six wide receivers. 20 out of 57 wide receivers have hit a top 24 warp season in their first 3 years
drafted. Okay, got it. So it's really not that much different. We dropped six, like you said.
Dropped six of them. But your percentage comes down. 35% of round one guys can do this, or have done this, I should say.
Yeah. We're looking at basically a third again.
21% of the guys in round two, and 14% of the round three guys. So it gets a little bit tougher to do.
Yep.
Now here's where it gets real tough to do.
12?
Do it in year one. Wide receiver two in year one.
Rookie season, top 24. This will be interesting. How many?
10%. Seven dudes.
Damn, we only have seven people.
Seven dudes.
Mike, you know what's interesting about that to me? We'll keep going. We'll get to that in a minute. Let's get through the data first.
Three dudes in round two.
Wow.
Nobody else any round ever other than one. In round five, and we can all name that who that guy was.
Puka, baby.
Mr. Puka. So you put the screws to it. Now let's tighten it again, Adam. Wide receiver one.
I mean.
What we all strive for, right? So I mean, we got a three-year window where you can do this in.
Oh, we're talking 3 years right now.
Okay. Three-year window, yep. It's probably going to be very few for rookie year only. But
I know Jamar made it.
Yes. So 15 out of the 57 have done it in their first 3 years. It's a 26% clip.
Yeah. Honestly, though, Mike, if you think about that, that's really not that bad.
One out of four.
But just think about that. 25%. So if you just drafted four first-round rookies in one draft.
Yep.
There's a chance that there's a one of those four. By numbers, by mathematically. Now, obviously, anything's likely to happen with variance, but
would hit a wide
would
receiver
get a
one
top
season.
20 or top 12 season in their first 3 years. So we're not asking like they're 27 or some shit, right?
Nope.
These are young guys.
Nope. 7% though out of round two, 5% out of round three, and then super single digits again.
5%.
Which again,
think
like
round
the,
three though, 5%. Like,
just so people don't miss the. The forest through the trees, the old expression. I like that one. Don't miss the forest through the trees. When I'm just looking at wide receivers in this data so far, Adam, the clearest thing today to me, just with wide receiver data, is if you're making a bet, it better be for a round one wide receiver or a round two wide receiver you can tell yourself a nice story about.
Top 50.
The rest of them? No. Don't. Stop. Like, even some of these round three guys that we like, I like Jermaine Burton, Roman Wilson, that kind of stuff. The numbers are telling you that it's probably a tough bet for them to hit.
Now, the caveat for this, I think, is only it's only to play the market.
Yeah.
The only reason you should be drafting those other guys is understanding this data. Like, if you're listening to this podcast, right, and this is the first time you're kind of really combing through this, to Mike's point, you're seeing, you know, the forest through the trees, right? It's I'm not even going to tell you as far as don't ever draft and whatever, but understand that you need to know your market and your league. Is everyone else listening to this podcast and going to tell you to fuck off now on Jermaine Burton and these guys? Or can you sell Jermaine Burton to a hopeful after he has, you know, two top 24 weeks, Mike? Like, that I think is the thing. If I have any type of hits with these later receivers, like, there's a 5% chance that they're a wide receiver one. So I'm trying to sell that hopium to someone else down the road if I have those shares, right?
Yep. So your top 12 hit rates in their rookie season, like, to come out and do it in their rookie year, 6% total and 1%. So your total numbers is 4 wide receivers from round 1 have done this, and Puka Nacua from
round 5. So how many round 1 receivers does it say?
57 was the sample size.
And how many, I'm saying, how many made the top 12 in their rookie year? Sorry.
4.
4. Okay. So I know Chase is one. We could probably go back.
Jefferson.
Oh, Jefferson did make it. You're right. He started slow, but had a great season here for sure.
Jefferson probably did. And then we'll go back. We'll look at the data too and
yeah,
see.
Yeah, we'll pull up.
We'll rank it by there and we'll see who the best ones were.
I know Amon-Ra barely missed, by the way. He was like wide receiver 13 year one.
Was that wide receiver 13 in points per game or warp? Because this is something else I just want to make sure we're completely transparent on.
That was not with warp, by the way. That was wide receiver 13. I'm talking not in warp. That was in wide receiver 13 in points per game scoring. Yes.
So I'm looking at thresholds.
Warp, I know. Yep.
Thresholds that we want to know. Like, I wanted to know how warp changes this, because you see some of these hit rate charts for various things, and I always have a question: is this by points per game? Is this by overall finish? Like, what are we doing?
Let's just use warp.
Warp. Let's make a league that's pretty vanilla and standard, and we'll just adjust based on that. The other thing that I'm talking to DB about is possibility of doing something where we have some sort of tight end premium baked in for the tight ends. See if it helps them. Helps them, because it's bad. It's pretty bad. All right. So, and then we have a very, like, put the screws to it. Top 6 hit rate.
Top, like, 6 season?
The elite of the elite. A wide receiver. 9 round 1 wide receivers have done this. Had a 16% clip. Only 1% of your round 2 guys have done this. One dude. And only one guy from round 4 has also been in this mix. This is their first 3 years.
Hmm.
Give you that CeeDee Lamb, that Amon-Ra, that Justin Jefferson, you know, that Tyreek Hill type season.
Right. Right.
Like, where you're in a first round startup conversation, right?
100%.
That's your ultimate payoff. And to do it in your rookie year, two.
Jefferson and Chase.
Two guys.
Jefferson and Chase. Yep.
You think I'm going to go with Jefferson for sure. I don't.
Chase was wide receiver 5, so I want to say
he's
going to be. Now, warp would be interesting to see if it tells you that, but I think it meets the threshold.
Well, one nice thing about warp, too, is you cut off the last meaningless week of the season where nobody cares about.
But can I tell you why? Correct. I'll tell you why I would also bet Chase. Is it the championship game is factored in? Remember, he went for 57 crazy points.
That's what I was going to bring up right there, is the championship game and the explosion in there, and just how high that one warp week would have been versus everybody else.
He might be, like, towards the top in warp for that year because of that crazy week.
Which is something we've had conversations about, the difference between warp and points per game. While you can look at points per game and you go, man, this guy should be a difference maker, and then you go look at warp and they're not. And some guys who are maybe a little bit lower down on the points per game threshold are actually leapfrog the guy above them on the points per game. Because they had a couple weeks where they literally carried your team to a victory. Like, it didn't matter. You started them in a bunch of turds, and you still won.
They went to the boom boom room.
You went to the boom boom room. And I think you're right, Adam. I think Chase would probably make that, because that Week 17 championship game was so amazing.
If you were to look at that week, it's got to be stupid on the chart. Might even be top of the whole.
Dumb.
Burrow would be the only one that could be close, because he threw all those touchdowns to him.
Right. All right. Let's move on. Let's look at running backs, and we're not going to go top 48, and we're not going to look at the same thing for quarterbacks. No one gives a shit at top 48 for those positions. How about top 36?
QB is outrageous, by the way. Like, just think about what that would mean.
You know what? Let's start at top 24 for these positions.
There you go. I like that.
All right. You only start. There's only one running back usually taking the majority of the snaps. There's only one quarterback under center, so top 24. Let's give them the same like wide receivers. We'll treat them like 48s. Can you maintain value? Can you hold value? So looking at top 24 hit rates for running backs.
Yep.
Can you be an RB2 in your first three seasons? You got a sample size of 19 first round running backs who have done it out of a total of 29. Not too bad.
Should be drafting them dudes, man.
66% in the first 3 years of running backs drafted in round one have hit a top 24 warp season for running back. It's not bad.
Yeah, now granted, at running back, I guess we'd have to see what warp would look like per league, right? Like top 24 wide receiver versus running back. But the point is, Mike, top 24 at least is not giving you a zero. It's giving you like, maybe not hammer points, but it's giving you at least replaceable level points for
yep.
sure.
Round two guys do it at a 37% clip, so 15 out of 41 round two running backs. Round three running backs do it at a 32% clip, so not too much of a fall off between basically, two and three.
Really close, yep.
And that sample size is also 41. Then you get to round four, five, six, seven, and UDFAs, and they're all single digits. 7, 5, 2, 3, 2. Not good.
We've done it. It's just not that often. You know?
Yeah. How often do you do it in your first year? Like the running backs now, like what have you done for me lately, right? Looking at 1 year, 2 year windows.
By the way, Mike, I was just going to say, because at the same time, Mike, a top 24 season at running back in your first 3 years, like you fucking better.
You better.
That's your whole value, you know?
Yes. So you had 14 round one running backs do it. That's 45% clip. Only 16% of the round two running backs do it.
Dog, think seven about total that, guys. Bro. Think about that for a second.
The massive fall off.
That is, but Mike, top. If you're not a top 24 running back in year one, like your value's going to dive.
Unless, I mean, people tell themselves their story about,
you maybe were wide running back 26 or something stupid.
Well, like that, right? Yeah, there's also people who go out there and they tell themselves a story about Charbonnet. They tell themselves a story about Kendre Miller.
If you're telling yourself a story about Charbonnet, you're an idiot, okay?
Right.
He had a chance and didn't do nothing with it. At least Kendre's story, you can tell him, well, he wasn't healthy. He's going to be healthy this year.
Yeah.
Now, that's probably a fairy tale, but point is, Mike, what do you need to say? What is the story with Charbonnet? I actually want to know. I have a share of Charbonnet, Mike, that I can't move. And people, rightfully so, are treating him like he's got leprosy, you know?
Yes, yes, yep. Like, if you look at three-year windows, Adam, the odds are still good. Maybe he does something. Maybe he has an RB2 season. So maybe that's the story. Like, you still got a 1 in 3 chance. Just if you haven't done it in your rookie year, you haven't shown that you can be an RB2 or better already, I'm good, man. If you still hold value in the community, like Sharps is probably one for you. Let's talk about him.
Okay.
Because of the numbers.
Sure.
The numbers are telling you within his 3 years, he may still give you, at a 1 in 3 chance, an RB2 season.
Sure.
Now, if people valued him as such and they pushed him up, right? They pushed him up ranks and he was a hot commodity. The year one data would tell you, this is a dude I will move. Like, I will be on the 66% chance that he doesn't do it. Like, I can get on that, but he's value. If they're not valuing him at all and you can't move him,
I'm just gonna hope to
just
hit
hold
that.
Out.
I'm gonna
hold
hope
out.
To hit yeah. that. I'm gonna hope to hit that 1-3 in the next couple of years. Right?
I hope to hit that 1-3. Yes.
And I think the other thing too with these numbers that they speak differently. We do know because of the way that the usage goes. Right, Mike, Zach Charbonnet is still the story of what we just talked about. Is like, bro, what kind of stupid story are you telling yourself? But you know what the story is? Straight up, this offense is better, and Kenneth Walker gets hurt, and maybe now with a more efficient offense, plotting or not, he makes you top 24 running back. And that's not asking anything. Him just having work could end up getting him there, right?
So just off this initial one for running backs, my biggest takeaway is if I'm drafting a running back, it better be a dude with round one specifically. Like if you got round one draft capital, I want you on my fucking team. But then round two and three, outside of that, the round four guys, the fall off is pretty drastic. Now we'll see kind of how that shakes out here, especially with these later class. Like we're not really doing round one running backs anymore in the NFL.
I was going to say, I think there's a couple things that like take away from there. One, nowadays with like the new school, if you're a first round running back, like we should be highly paying attention straight, yep. like period. I would argue, Mike, unless the prospect you think is absolutely dog shit, and even then, I'm probably going to fight for him. I'll probably fight for him, honest to God, because how infrequent are round one running backs anymore? Like, you should be drafting them in the back end of the first round in any class, basically, if it's the first round running back, right?
Easily.
No further than that, undebatable, I'd say. Now, round two, we'll see if these numbers change, because that is feeling more like the new round one, but right now the numbers don't speak very great to that group of people anyway. But to the point, there's a different lens for me of drafting, making sure we're drafting these day two guys appropriately. And then, like, after that, I'm just taking my shot. I'm almost betting on the numbers not necessarily mattering as much. My process for those guys, if you're drafting a guy in round four or later, you should be understanding these numbers, that there's probably not a good hit rate, but you're just hoping for a path that breaks their way, because it's not going to be their talent that probably gets them on the field straight up, right?
So a cool thing while you're talking about it, I agree with you. I'm 1,000%. Maybe we got a new round one is then round two and so on and so forth. But the numbers overall still don't say. But one thing I did notice, man, DB, such a dog here. He listed what the average warp is for each of these spots.
Okay, love it. Let's do it.
So when we talk about top 48 for wide receivers when we were talking about it,
yep.
They had to hit a 0.640 warp.
Oh, got it. Love this. So the actual warp threshold. Okay.
Yep. For top 36 for wide receivers was 0.991.
Pretty good.
1.318, which is really good for
top 24
wide receiver.
You get north of 125, Mike. That's a great number.
1.628 for top 12 for wide receivers.
And almost two, probably at that top six.
2.019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Two is really, really good. Running back, so since we're on this one, for top 24, they have to hit a 1.042. Which, to our last part, right, we were talking about rookies in year one hitting a 1.0 warp. So, which would put you as like a top 100-ish player somewhere in there. This one's a little bit tighter, but kind of weird how those numbers actually worked out. I love when math comes together.
Love it.
So let's go and let's look at RB1 seasons, which I'll give you the RB1 warp on average in your first 3 years would be a 1.471.
Top 12?
Top 12 running backs, yep.
1.471.
Round one guys, they do it at a 52% clip.
In their first three.
In their first 3 years. It can be an RB1.
Yeah, I mean,
your round two guys are at 20%. Your round three guys are at 17%. Your sample numbers are 15 for round one, 8 in round two, and 3 in round three.
Listen to that last number.
8.
Well, but Mike, even there, right? Obviously, it's, you know, not even quite 1 out of 10. But 8% versus 3%. Like, if you're betting, understand, I think that's a Trey Benson discussion.
Could be.
Mike, 3%. I think we talked about this. Now, we've kind of, you can comb through the numbers. realistically, if they both see the field, I think that's the big differential, is that you're not guaranteed to in round three, but if they both see the field, the numbers over the course of time play out to be very similar for round two and round three. But if a guy's going to break in and be a actual meaningful back,
yep,
odds are more often than not, Mike, that's going to be a round two guy than a round three guy. That's over double.
Well, let's find out here. So,
I'm just talking for the first year in their rookie season. Now, I was saying, yep, overall, when you go across the two and three, they're probably going to be very similar. But yep, I thought that was a good point.
2 and 3 for an RB1 is 20% and 17%. Yep. So that's your first 3 years.
Yep.
Let's look at the difference between round two and three. In your first year, your rookie year,
okay,
4% for round two guys.
Oh, I thought you said that was 8 and 3 right there.
No.
What was
4% and 6%?
What was?
I don't know where you got the 8 and 3 from, bud.
You said 8% and 3%. What did you say? 8%
No, that was your total sample size. Eight running backs.
I misunderstood you then. I thought you said 8% and 3%. So it's actually the opposite then.
Eight running backs in round two
to hit
hit a top 12 season in their first 3 years. 7 running backs in round three have hit a top 12 season in their first 3 years.
Okay, so I actually, when I heard that, Mike, I was,
I get you.
I was jumping the gun. I thought you were speaking to something else. So it's now actually to do different.
Now to do a top 12 season in your rookie year at running back, 7 of the guys have come from round one. 2 have come from round 2, and 3 have come from round 3. So 23%, 4%, and 6%, respectively.
So actually, what I was saying, based on that numbers that were incorrect, is not true. It's
round 3 guys, technically, in their rookie year, actually hit one more dude has done it versus a round 2 guy, which is,
yeah,
it's the same thing. It's a corporate needs you to find the difference in these two pictures to the same.
Right. I mean, also, an interesting point, very, very minute, but people kind of forget about. Round three is where they start doing compensatory picks. So
yep,
you get a larger sample size of round three people. But you anyway, it's the same picture. So day two.
Yeah,
though,
you got 13 more running backs in round three, right?
Yep. So, but my only point was that, well, at first I was going to say if it's 8 and 3, that's a different conversation. These are the same picture. So it's 2 guys and 3 guys have actually been a top 12 running back in their rookie season. But that's 5 backs, Mike, when you talk about this data, versus literally there's only been one other person probably in round 3 or day 3 that has actually made this list, correct?
Yeah. So you got one UDFA to do it.
Elijah Mitchell, we know, right?
No, James Robinson.
Why did I say, yeah, duh, James Robinson. Now, who's the round 6 guy?
That I don't know. We'll have to find out. Oh, could be Elijah.
Could be a good one.
Could be Elijah,
yeah.
I would venture to guess, because this is just looking at their rookie year.
I would guess that, too.
If you go and you look at, you wanted to look at some of those guys, you know, RB1 season in the first 3 years, like Kyren's going to come into this conversation now.
Right, because he didn't do it in year one, but he did it. He smashed in year two. Right.
All right, top 6 running back, Adam. The creme de la creme.
The hammers.
The hammers. 34% of round one running backs do this. Think of that.
1 out of 3.
That is fantastic. that's a good number.
And that's to the point where I was saying, like, if you're a round one guy,
I'm taking you.
You should just be drafting them. And I understand you could get a penny, but you just draft them.
You just draft them. 15% of the round two guys do it, and 12% of the round three guys do it, and then everything else is single digits or zeros.
I mean, if you're shooting, but that's the thing, though. If you're shooting for, I think that's the difference, right? Understanding shooting for a hammer versus playing the replaceable level running backs, inserting any running back on a 53, right? That I think is a massive difference in the story.
Now, to do it in your rookie year, you got 4 running backs in round one who have done this, 1 running back in round two who's done this, and 3 in round three who have done this.
Interesting. So it actually is the opposite, Mike. Round three is just as good, if not a better chance, to give you a hammer running back.
It's basically...
Because Kamara probably makes that list.
Yep. I look at him and I treat him the exact same, man. If you get running day two or day three, you're going to get run anywhere. Or round two or round three, I should say. You're going to get run.
I think for both of those rounds, the way I view it is, I think that if those guys get on the field, they have meaningful enough draft capital to take the backfield over, probably, right?
Yep.
I do think that inherently, like, there's a slightly better chance that a round two guy gets on the field than a round three guy. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about here is different than that. This is when you get on the field, can you, like, seize the backfield? Frankly, they're both the same thing. They get on the field, they're going to have a chance to take over the field.
All right, let's look at quarterbacks. So it's a 0.666 warp. The devil.
Oh, boy.
To be a top 24 quarterback in your first 3 years. 67% of the round one quarterbacks do this.
Yeah, so that's two out of three.
Total of 31. Only 22% of the round two guys do it, 18% of round three, and then you go to single digits. So this really, you just look at it and you go, RIP, Spencer Rattler, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, Spencer Rattler is a shot in the dark of, obviously, he
doesn't happen very 0%, often.
Right.
Yep. To do it in your rookie season, 36% of round one quarterbacks do this. 5% of round two, 5% of round three, 4% of round four, and the sample size is 1-1-1.
For to top do it in 12? The rookie. Oh, no, for the rookie season.
For the rookie season. Not likely.
Yeah,
not likely. Sure. You better have round one draft capital. All right. To be a QB1 in their first 3 years, 43% of quarterbacks do it from round one. 20 quarterbacks, Adam.
So
20 quarterbacks.
43% in their first 3 years.
Will be a QB1.
QB1. Okay, so that's 4 out of 10.
17% out of round two. It gives you three guys.
Yeah.
Three guys. To do it in your rookie year, 16% of the quarterbacks from round one do it in their rookie year. 8 total. Nobody from round two has done this yet. Round three and round four, you've had one guy each. And I would imagine that would be Dak and Russ.
Yeah.
Almost respectively.
Almost guaranteed.
Yeah.
Now, Mike, when we go over this, I think... And I want to save some of this for Wednesday because I think it's going to be a really good conversation, but we're already here, so we got to touch on some of this. This 24 class, I think, Mike, is going to be really big as far as shaping if this quarterback values that we see today treads water. I think that's probably the least likely of outcomes. I think that because there's five that are going to see the field almost guaranteed, right? How they perform in their rookie season, right or wrong, I think is going to dictate kind of either pushing the quarterback values back up or seeing them fall. Just to go over rookie season top 24 again, I just wanted to go over that one more time with everybody listening.
Yep. For quarterbacks.
Yeah. Quarterbacks top 24 in their rookie season.
36%.
So, you know, one out of three. So let's call it out of the five. Let's even say, so if two of them are top 24, we're probably looking at right.
In their rookie season.
Yep. I think it'll be interesting to see because I feel like there's almost, if Caleb isn't a top 24 quarterback, Mike, that's almost impossible, right?
Right. It's not a very high bar to set.
And I also think, the reason I want to touch on this, if you think about this out though, Mike, part of the reason that number is there, right? I know it's a percentage of the quarterbacks drafted, but think about we have six quarterbacks being drafted here. It doesn't change that percentage, but we could see, let's say, if we see three quarterbacks in the top 24 that are rookies, I think that's probably something that you'll have to see. I think if we got one quarterback that's a top 12 and another two that are top 24, it would actually be ahead of what this data shows. But I think there's a realistic range of outcomes where two guys that are meaningful enough, they show promise, they're probably inconsistent, and we get one guy that actually is a difference maker, whether that's a Daniels or a Caleb. You're looking at good thing for quarterback values. But the other thing I wanted to say, Mike, is if somehow both Caleb and Jaden are top 12, let's say, or just two of them, holy fuck, buddy. I mean, you could be looking at a resurgence, right?
You really could. And the total numbers would tell you that top 24 guys for the rookie years in the first three one, you know, two-thirds are going to hit. Right?
Yeah.
You're going to have four out of six of those guys are going to have a top 24 season in warp at quarterback within their first 3 years. And then looking at almost half, Adam, just under half, like we'll round down 40%, 43% is the actual number of this class from round one guys are going to have a top 12 season on their resume within their first 3 years. And that's really good.
How, you're saying two?
Two and a half, essentially.
Yeah, two to three.
Almost three. Almost three of these six.
Now, I think that number, though, Mike, being two or three is actually a huge thing, too, because...
It is.
When I just want to acknowledge this, everybody listening. When we play, Mike, when we talk about best ball, for example, that top 24 number means a lot more for the best ball perspective than it does for the lineup perspective.
Yes.
Right? Because, Mike, if you give me six quarterbacks, four quarterbacks, anything north of probably four, top 24, I'll play the variance. I'll play the numbers. We'll just let these guys all go to work at once, right? Lineup, top 24 is like, okay. You know what I mean? Who gives a shit probably, right? Realistically. So I think we should acknowledge that too, where it's a different beast as far as the way they're going to be viewed, right?
Let's really tighten the screws up here. Let's go top six quarterbacks.
These are the elite playmakers, right? These are the difference makers of the entire Superflex.
These are the dudes you send four first for in just about any format.
Come correct or you ain't coming at all, buddy. Correct. Right?
33% of round one quarterbacks have hit this threshold within their first 3 years.
So that's just think, Mike. By data, we're looking at, you know, at least one of these guys, if not two of these guys in this class hitting that.
15 out of 46. 6% in round two and 6% in round three, kind of irrelevant. Now, rookie year guys to do it. Only three first-round quarterbacks have ever done this in the rookie year, though.
That is a telling number.
Three.
By the way, if we were to guess that, I mean...
I'm gonna RG3 for Cam. One. Cam. And the third one would elude me. Thinking back to 2007. I give you RG3 and Cam right off the rip.
For sure. Those are the two that I think come to mind for, well, they should for everybody. Let's think, I'm going to think about this for a little bit as we keep going through the numbers. I'm going to see if I can pinpoint that third guy.
Watson, maybe?
Possibly. I feel like.
Herbert.
Oh, yeah, Herbert. There you go. Herbert.
There we go. That wasn't that hard.
I was thinking more recently, and I'm like, I feel like I know who this is, but...
Got it.
Watson started to throw me off for sure. I'm like, I think he probably misses, but he's close. Herbert definitely, once he got on the field, started just balling.
Yeah, he's like a 21-point-per-game, and it's something I've been citing. Everybody thinks CJ Stroud had, like, he had a Justin Herbert-esque rookie year. They're like, yeah, if you took 3 points per game off of Justin Herbert's score every week, it'd be the same. Get how good that actually was. All right. Tight ends. It's not good. Let's just say that.
Well, tight ends as a whole takes a long time typically to develop for the actual points mattering.
All right. I'll give you a top 24 for tight ends, Adam, which you got to have a 0.252 warp. Just think about that number.
Say it again. Top what?
Top 24 tight end.
Okay.
In your first 3 years, a 0.252 warp, 86% of round one tight ends will hit that. Good news for Brock Bowers.
Well, it means he's going to be a top 24 warp guy.
Woo! At tight end.
Yeah.
Let's really tighten it up, though. Top 12. Top 12 warp.
What's that, tight end? 0.9?
0.726.
0.726, okay.
43% of round one tight ends do this.
Man, that's really, when you think about that, like the level of investment, a first round tight end pick.
Yep.
Like that's really high. That's an NFL team screaming for you. 4 out of 10 of those guys are going to give you warp early. That's wild to think about. At a position that doesn't matter.
Yes. Yep. 13% come from round two, 11% come from round three, 8% from four, 6% from five. To do it in your rookie year, though, Adam, to be a top 12 wide receiver. Only 13% of round one tight ends can actually do this.
To be a top 12 tight end, only 13%.
Two dudes.
Porta, Pitts.
Yep.
That's crazy thinking we've had some other decent tight ends.
Well, that's round one. Laporta would be around the only round two. Laporta's round two.
So Pitts and, is it Ingram then probably? No, Ingram probably. Was, yeah. Yeah, should be
Ingram. I'd say Ingram.
Yeah, I would agree.
That's it. That's not good odds.
Because Mike, what's interesting?
No,
he didn't. Terrible. Hit, he didn't. Well, he didn't hit anywhere near. He had some good games in the back half, but he wasn't a top 12 tight end in warp. No.
Yep. How about a top 6 tight end season?
Oh boy,
we've seen one dude do it from round 2 in their rookie year.
Sammy.
Now to do it in 3 years, 26% of them come from, or 7%, excuse me, 7% come from round 1, 4% from round 2, 8% from round 3, 5% from round 4, and 6% from round 5. So what that really tells me, Adam, it don't matter if you got round 1 draft capital or you got round 5 draft capital, it's a fucking dart throw of dart throws at tight end to find a dude who's going to hit top 6 in tight end warp within the first 3 years.
That I remember now. I didn't have the warp involved, okay? But I remember vividly doing, like, if I'm gonna, I did a tight end video for BDG, and I remember going through a lot of data on this. Didn't actually do warp, but Mike, it's like, okay, draft capital basically is you just put it in very clear, concise terms. It's all over the fucking map, and it doesn't matter if you have been drafted. Not been drafted, round 1, day 2, all those guys, I'm almost guaranteeing you, 98%, 95% of them are going to have a very good RAS score. That's what tight end should be for you, right? Like, straight up.
You want any more confirmation of that? How about a top 3 tight end season?
Well, let's do this.
The elite of the elite.
Let's hear this.
No tight end drafted in round 1 has ever hit a top 3.
Man, Kyle Pitts.
Warp season.
Kyle Pitts.
As of yet, this is 2007 to 2021, right? 3 years of data. Mm-hmm. So we don't have 22. We don't have 23. 2007 to 2021. No tight end draft in round 1 ever hit a top 3 warp season. None. And nobody's ever done it as a rookie. Don't matter where you're drafted from.
Laporta? He wasn't top 3 in warp?
Don't believe so.
But you said the 2021 maybe, because I feel like Laporta was like 1 or 2 in warp.
Let me find out here.
Laporta,
DB on the spot here.
Yeah, regardless whether DB's on this or not, we'll put it on the spot. But point is, Mike, even if Laporta does make this list, to the data's point is that's how infrequently tight ends are going to make, even if Laporta's not on the list, it's even more so to the point.
Be bad.
But even if he is, Mike, he's a outlier of outliers for rookies actually being top 3.
I think he might have just missed out on it.
It probably depends on the scoring format.
No, here's the thing, right? So DB's listing it as a 1.368 warp.
Oh.
So because it's on the aggregate average. Now, last year, I can tell you tight end scoring was probably down across the fucking league as a whole.
That makes sense.
So why he may positionally been top 3 on the average going back to 2007, he would not have made the list.
So Sam Laporta's warp does not meet the criteria for if you averaged out the top 3 tight ends scoring in warp from 07 to 2021. Okay.
Yep. because you've had really good tight end seasons in there. You've had the Mark Andrews and the Travis Kelce multiple years, right? You've had those produce.
If you just think about that, Mike, add Gronk's historic years, add Kelce's, right? You're going to add in some freaking was it Tony Gonzalez years in there? Like, you're going to have some 100%. I agree with that. That makes sense. To the point
double thing too. I got you for it. So I know I gave DB a specific league to do it, vanilla, that we created to run the warp off of. Very basic. Now, two things here, Adam. Sam Laporta's warp was 1 below that threshold. He was a 1.335.
Barely missed it, but he did. Okay.
Barely missed it. Number 2, he wasn't even top 3 tight end this past year in this league.
In this specific league. Okay. Who were the top 3 then?
Hockenson, Travis Kelce, and Evan Ingram.
Ingram did. See?
Came late. On late. Remember came that on trade strong. Show?
Ingram, yep. Baby. Let me bet on him.
Came on late. David Njoku and Sam Laporta just missed.
Okay.
So, to more to the point, on the average or the aggregate, no tight end has ever done it.
People forget when we talk warp per game how stupid TJ Hockenson was last year.
Yeah.
because he ended up getting hurt, right? But that, to the point, yes.
Nuts. Nuts. No tight end has ever done it. So it really makes me think, like, all those times where I took Brock Bowers, and I'm saying, well, maybe market, or maybe try to tell myself a story. God damn it, Adam, I wish I hadn't.
Well, Mike, here's the thing. Market is completely separate and not indicative of all that data, right? Because Sam Laporta, if the market was reflective of just that, Sam Laporta wouldn't be valued like he is right now, like to the moon. Brock Bowers, I think, Mike, as long as he hits what we were talking about a couple times ago, top 12, if he's a top 12 warp guy in his rookie season, his market's going to be stupid. Look at Kincaid.
Let me ask you then with a guy that we got right now, Ben Sinnott. Sinnott, however you want to do it.
I like it. Okay.
I see the hype around him.
Sure.
He's starting to build.
Definitely. It's getting stronger even. I was kind of thinking it would go the other way.
If you want to say just top 12, like, is that kind of where you want to bake off of? It's telling you he's got a 13% chance in his first 3 years to be a top 12 warp guy at tight end.
I feel like that's very realistic, though, Mike. People don't think about this, but that's the truth. Like,
that's the actual what's probably going
to
happen?
I would say, Mike, that that's being generous to that guy, considering just think about what all for him. And this is no knock on Ben Sinnott, for the record, okay? I liked him. I thought he'd have a chance to be a sleeper before the draft of mine, right, that I'm getting a lot of spots. I probably got him a lot pre-draft, to be honest. But here's the thing, Mike, okay? It's a tight end, first of all, in his rookie season. Like, we just went through the numbers. Let's just acknowledge it's a tight end in his rookie season. Starters. Secondly, what do they have? Terry McLaurin, a bunch of new pass catchers, and a rookie quarterback, even if you say he's an upgrade, Mike. So, like, you got a running quarterback, not a throwing quarterback, like, overall, right? Not saying he can't throw the ball, but rookie QB, rookie tight end, other pass catchers, and they drafted, like, I mean, Mike, it's just, there's a lot of stuff for him when I think about it. Not saying that there's not a path, but the numbers, 13%, I bet you that's probably being generous. Like, that sounds about right, Mike. Maybe if he had this rookie season 10 times, he might make it once.
All right. Well, let's have the discussion. Positional value. Superflex leagues. Lineup, Adam. What for the quarterback in the first 3 years do you think is like a good baseline? Top 12?
If you go top 12, I think.
For lineup leagues?
Yeah, in lineup leagues, I think it's top 12. For best ball, I think the top 24 conversation is a lot more relevant.
So your first-round quarterback has a 43% just like baseline. Like, that was a good season from you. Now you've hit. You've been a real hit, okay? There's no, like, maintaining value. If you've had a top 12 season in your first 3 years as a first-round NFL quarterback, you've established yourself. Now you're in there, right? You're good. Good to go. What about wide receivers? You going to do 36, like a wide receiver 3 season, or do you want to do 24?
First 3 seasons?
Yeah.
24,
okay.
I think for first year, you could do 36, even 48 probably, just for value perspective. But for meaningful points, I'd say 24 in the first 3 years.
Wide receiver 2 season from wide receivers drafted in round 1, 35%.
So similar, a little better for quarterback, but similar, right?
Right. Yep. What about, we'll just do the elite of the elite, which is, you know, first round startup value. How often do you do it? 33% of the quarterbacks drafted in round 1 hit that. 16% of the wide receivers will hit that ceiling.
Yeah, I would say with data, for sure, especially when you consider just like first round receivers in general, what that looks like. For sure, I would agree with that.
To actually see it quantified out here now really makes me like all those times I took Drake May or J.J. McCarthy over like a Roma Dunze or maybe over a Neighbors this year. I'm like, listen, I'm just playing the odds, man. Like, I'm just the guy at the fucking casino just dealing. But more so, especially when we get to the back end with Bo Nix and Michael Penix, where people are like, ew, like, no. Taking them over a Brock Bowers, Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Leggett, Pearsall, Keon Coleman, whoever it is, Ladd. 100 out of 100 times, man. The data is telling me, listen, my floor is better hit rate-wise. My ceiling definitely is better hit rate-wise. My ability to do it in year one better, even though not by a whole lot. And I don't have to do this whole like treading or maintaining value. I think it's interesting too with just the amount of wide receivers that keep coming in year over year, like how hard it's becoming for these guys to hit it. And the JSN thing like this year is really starting to creep in my mind. And I've even seen it a little bit on X with Drake London, like people being more skeptical of Drake London, like really like, what has he given us the last 2 years that we're so like, we're drafting Drake London so high and we're valuing him so high. It kind of feels like these wide receivers are reaching this danger zone, Adam, for me, where it's like, you better be Amon-Ra, you better be Justin Jefferson, you better be Jamar Chase, or, you know, the Garrett Wilsons and the Drake Londons of the past. Like, they're going to go by the wayside if you're just maintaining. Like, we got to see something from you pretty early before the haters really start. Which I don't think necessarily is right. Like, we got to give these dudes time.
The haters are coming for both, right? Like, let's call it what it is. The haters are out there on X for both, period. Like, the X people are hating Bo Nix to the world.
That's true.
Michael Penix. But to the point you're making.
Maybe they just like to hate.
Well, that's where, if you want to find hate in life, go dabble in X and really get into some, you know, back and forth on there. I've seen some crazy stuff on X, Mike. That's honestly pretty funny. But I think to this point, pretty interesting, some stuff to take away, at least for me. I think from the beginning we've agreed on Penix and Bo Nix just as a bet ahead of really the... If you want to pick your specific one, like, fine. Just understand that you're looking at the numbers of... To me, Brian Thomas Jr. or, you know, Ladd or Xavier Worthy, whatever your guy is, their profile isn't quite in that more bulletproof range for me to feel like I have a different actual chance of bet versus just a first round receiver. Like that I think is the point. And to what we've said from the beginning, nah, man. Especially Penix, who's value insulated. Like, I know this time next year, unless Kirk Cousins sucks and Penix actually gets on the field, his value is safe. All those other guys, even including Nix, Mike, their value isn't safe. Now, to the point of what you're saying here, especially in best ball, Mike, I feel like Bo Nix is a crazy value because I get to get him sometimes second round, and he's just my quarterback 4, quarterback 5. Just I don't even need him to be great. I just need him to be a quarterback, and it's going to be perfect. But, Mike, this Bo Nix, I think people are forgetting. Now, granted, Herbert had earlier draft capital, but sometimes the most hated quarterbacks in the class end up popping, and now what? Like, if Bo Nix pops, let's not even say he's a first-round startup pick, but let's say he's a Brock Purdy range, Mike. You've cashed in tremendously.
Like, yep.
So, Bo Nix, I'm with you there. The wide receiver quarterback thing, though, in general, I think what's kind of interesting, like, Fields to me... And you see with Trey Lance missing and then Fields hitting but being out of a job, I think that is so interesting to the data to think about Justin Fields having been one of the quarterbacks that makes this very, very great list in his first 3 years, but now like doesn't have a start. Not saying he can't this year, but like isn't a starting quarterback is crazy to think. Like, I think that part is messing with people's valuation of the quarterback position at the time. Now, whether that changes or not, I don't know what to say, because I'm going to guess, Mike, if you look at the quarterbacks that have made the list, most of them are not out of a job. But Mac Jones and Justin Fields, I think in particular, being in this class where they both showed you relevant points, but being out of a job so quickly, I think has people... I guess scared shitless is a way to put it, you know, because like they gave you points and then they don't have a job. What the fuck happened to my value? That's what I think is part of the data or the data versus the value in market.
That part has always been very interesting to me too. It feels like to me, it's a lot of today's flavor and the cool
bias. Yeah.
Recency bias. The cool thing to do is the hate on these quarterbacks when they're out of a job, even though historically you've been shown like how many years they're given. Like, we've gone through this before.
Sure.
And people just, they're like, well, I got to find something else. And the new shiny toy is going to be wide receivers. The new shiny toy is like, oh, look at all these wide receivers. And then people just happen to forget the fact that they've also had wide receivers that have completely just nuked themselves in value immediately. Like, you think about all the big names where you expected a lot, and for whatever reason or another, just took a dump, and all of a sudden were worthless, like junk. We're dealing with one right now in Treylon Burks, you know. I think back to all those like pre-NFL drafts, before Combine, we're doing all those mocks with the Treylon class, and he's the 101, Adam. People are just taking him 101 everywhere in a mock draft. Like, this is the thing. This is can't miss. This is the dude.
For sure. He had that type of value pre-NFL draft, for sure. And the other thing was, that was the class, Mike, where the quarterbacks, as we know, were so, so bad.
So
that people
terrible.
Were like, fuck it. I'm just going to take Burks right now. 101.
It's safe, right? It's super safe. I'm never going to burn this. Yeah. I'm looking at trades on X where people are like, I finally did it, man. I let Treylon go, and it's for like a fourth and a fifth. I love it.
Good for you at this point, because that's better than nothing. That's what I
love it.
For him.
Yeah, Justin Fields would make this with his 2-year total, 3-year total.
Right.
He'd get on there. I had to pull it up and see where he was on here. Not bad. Man, DB, some of the names that we got out here, like Isaiah Standback. Like, talk about the deep dives.
You gotta love this stuff, man. This is good deep dives right here.
My biggest takeaway has just been the data has shown me, if I put the recency bias aside, in all reality, people call me hot takey or do whatever, but outside of like Marvin Harrison Jr., I can't make a case to draft any wide receiver over a first round quarterback ever.
Really? Including a neighbor, including a neighbors and including a Rome in this class.
Yep. And if I were to do it just based off of hit rate charts and everything I know and what the data is telling me, if I'm just the gambler at the casino, Adam, and I go into a draft, I think even with Marv, if you were to take like market sentiment out of it, even with Marv, my first six picks would all be quarterback in super flex leagues.
Now, if you just wanted to do a market out of it, like I'm looking for what their points are going to be within the first three seasons or whatever.
Who's going to hit?
I think that would be more of a realistic conversation, for sure. I can get more behind what you're saying there, for sure. For me, I think the reason I'm leaning a little more into the receivers is because of market. Now, granted, understand market is only what the market is today because of what people feel and think. And that's also subject to change based on how the hell people feel and think, which is subject to change based on, whatever the fucking sky is that day, frankly.
Right? Yeah. Like,
people's feelings are going to change accordingly. But I will say, Mike, what's interesting, I don't know if we do, maybe we can go over this at some point sooner, but in a separate series or do a part three type thing. If you remember, one thing we ended on last year, last episode, was how the producers, since 19, the people that are making the list in their rookie year are a lot more frequent.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see now with some of these rookies scoring earlier, producing earlier, both in quarterback and wide receiver, how that actually looks, right? Because obviously, if a quarterback's one thing I think the data overall is going to speak to in big time volume back to 07, like first round quarterbacks, we know they're going to be the quarterback on the team, right? Like they're going to be the guy under center, factually.
Yep.
The wide receiver thing, they're going to be on the field, but are they going to score? That we don't necessarily know. But I think nowadays, more so than ever, we're starting to see the wide receivers. Not that they won't miss, by the way, Mike, because you're right. I mean, any receiver, I think, maybe not any, but the large majority of receivers have a chance to bust. But them being on the field and being difference makers, it seems like is becoming more of a thing earlier in their career. Whereas in the past, it's like, dude, if this quarterback gets on the field, we know it's going to cash in points per game in some capacity, where wide receivers just weren't that unless you were a different maker, a different type of prospect. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But I think we're definitely on the same page on the Penix and Bo Nix thing. Like, we're talking about 8th overall and 12th overall. And we're letting these guys go to second round for spotty prospect profiles, frankly, at the receiver position. Those in particular, I don't have much of a debate or like a – I'm not going to try to even pretend that I would fight for that. I think the – if we believe Rome and Malik and Marv are in that close to God tier at receiver, like great prospects we rarely see, those are the guys I would fight for. Outside of that, though, Mike, this data kind of gives you the reasons why it's probably – I don't want to say foolish, but it's not a smart bet. The numbers don't speak to it, you know? The numbers don't speak to it, you know?
That's probably the biggest thing, Adam. Like, I understand if that's your viewpoint about wide receivers, like the close to God tier and bulletproof and all that. But at the end of the day, it really is just it's a feel. It's a feel. Because the numbers tell you no. Numbers tell you no. And conversely, for me, when I look at it, like, the numbers are telling me, okay, you're not crazy. Which is good. Well, you know, crazy people don't know they're crazy, but then when the numbers tell me I'm not crazy, then I definitely know I'm not crazy, which is good.
Yeah, I guess to me, we'd have to go back and I don't know if we could really pull this data factually, because we'd have to go back and, like, even if you threw a Burks in there, I'd have to go back and say how many people were graded in this range of closer to high end, and then how many of those people hit. Because first round receivers, Mike, to me, as a blanket statement, are just, there's a lot of different things there, right? Top 10 draft capital, wide receiver, you know, 28 off the board. So that would be the thing that speaks to those numbers. But to your point, I mean, I think people probably are a little undervaluing or appreciating the fact that all five of these quarterbacks, Mike, and then six when you include Penix at some point, Will, they're going to see the field and understand that with the thirst for youth in Dynasty, just because it's a quarterback doesn't mean if those dudes don't hit that they're not going to fucking see a big rise in value and that you are going to be able to trade out of some of them at great points. It's just going to be ultimately to the point of the data, right? Is it two or is it three of them? If we get three of them, holy shit, buddy. This 24 rookie quarterback class is going to be way undervalued, frankly. It just will be.
Yeah, it is. Looking back at some of those two, you just ask, like, who these first-round wide receiver samples are. Some of these guys just... they make you cry. You can go back in time, you think about playing fantasy football. Because DB went back even farther than what we did on that episode, looking at just wide receivers and quarterbacks, Adam. Like AJ Jenkins on this list. Jesus Christ.
Yikes, right?
Anthony Gonzalez. Breshad Perriman. Listen, I like 2007. It just worked out because you got Calvin Johnson on here.
Right.
Guaranteed to be the best one on this entire list. Maybe not in war production, but you can fight me. Calvin Johnson's the GOAT wide receiver ever.
Oh, yeah. No, ever. I'm not going to fight you on that. It'd be stupid. But look at some of these names. It's actually kind of wild to think. Some of
the there's a guy who's drafted as a wide receiver.
Special teamer.
Play wide receiver.
We got a first team special teams guy.
There you go. Cleveland's finest, Corey Coleman.
Oh, why'd you have to show me that?
You remember Craig Davis?
I do. Mike, what I'm really seeing here is not only did you show me Corey Davis, but I see here a guy that totally scammed us, Dwayne Bowe, down there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hakeem Nicks.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, this list.
Rager in there, more recent. John Ross.
John Baldwin.
Oh, my goodness. That is a blast from the past, John Baldwin.
Oh, Justin Blackmon, Kenny Britt.
What could have been? What the data could White. What the data could have said with Justin Blackmon, you know?
Michael Crabtree.
Good.
Michael Floyd.
N'Keal Harry. Make it stop.
Nelson Aguilar. Percy Harvin. Philip Dorsett.
There's a lot of names in here. Actually, now that we're going through them too, right? Good and bad, but a lot of names. Holy crap, man.
So it'll be hilarious, you know, in 4 or 5 years. We come back and we're still doing this. We look at it. We go, hey, you remember 2024?
What am I doing, say?
You remember Malik Nevers? I'm just saying that the data has told you this is probably a bad bet. They're going to be forgotten more often than not. I get it, though, if that's like you want to play market, you like it. But just going through some of the names and I'm like, man, if I could just transport myself back into that year they were drafted and how you felt about that prospect and like, oh, this dude's never going to miss. And then inevitably they do.
Now, What will be definitely interesting, I think, the final point I'll make about this is I think, right or wrong, we won't know until the future. I mean, that's just part of it. Some people are going to be on their side no matter what. They're not going to listen to reason. They're not going to listen to anything. They're just stuck in their ways, right, no matter what the data says or doesn't. But with this one, I think what's interesting is it feels like a point, Mike, where how do I phrase this other than, I guess, to kind of be direct? Like, the shifting in the market, I think, is speaking to the fact that people believe the game is more pass happy. They're basically saying the game is different than it's ever been. So if this makes sense, and I don't know how to say it other than just like try to say it bluntly, it's like showing them numbers and historical data for them is feels like it, I don't give a fuck, because I'm just telling you I don't give a shit about the old league. I think that's where probably, not that this isn't a good exercise, I actually think it is. I'm just saying that I think that people that are going to be naysayers are just going to be like, this is a fucking cassette. I don't care about any of the old data. And that's that'll be what's interesting about how it transgresses into the future, because sure, they value the receiver higher. Like, the game is changing, pass happy wise, but that doesn't actually change it for the quarterback. Is what I think what people also don't understand, right? The pass happy league also is good for QBs too. So, point is, I think that people that don't want to believe, no matter what you tell them, are going to say that this is old data. Who gives a shit, right? And that is probably a dangerous thing to say in general. Just not that things won't change in the future, but to act like history doesn't have a tendency to repeat itself is flawed too.
Yeah, we know it does. We know it does. We talked about zone coverage versus man coverage and how the NFL ends up going in these cycles where now the quarterbacks are kind of struggling, and you saw a resurgence a little bit in the run game last year. And maybe that trend continues. And all of a sudden, we're going to look at the end of the year, and we're going to have like a bunch of running backs ranked up at the top part of your fantasy leagues. And you're like, what the fuck? Like, is this 2006 all over again? Like, prime Larry Johnson? This is what's happening.
We bike.
The NFL goes in cycles, historically. Sure. Like, people act like pass-happy offenses never happened, and then you go back and you look at, like, some scores in the 70s, like some box scores, and you got teams out there throwing it, like, 45 times a game, and you're like, oh, my God.
This is where it all started.
I didn't even know they had the forward pass. But, yes, the NFL does go in cycles. Just a final one, just a fun one to get out of here. We asked about the first-round tight ends. Like, we'll take you down memory lane here. Brandon Pettigrew. Dalton Kincaid, Dustin Keller, Eric Ebron, Evan Ingram, Greg Olsen, Hayden Hurst, Jermaine Gresham, Kyle Pitts, Noah Fant, O.J. Howard, Pat Freiermuth, T.J. Hockenson, Tyler Eifert, A.J. Green. Oh, sorry, A.J. Green's a wide receiver.
I got the. How great of a tight end would he have been?
He would have been great.
What a warped tight end. He would have broken everything.
Oh. Just seeing Brandon Pettigrew's name on the list just brought me back to all the feels like, oh, yeah, this dude ain't going to miss. Look at him.
Yeah, honestly, I'll say again, shout out to DB, man. This was a really cool series to do so far. And I'm not going to commit to the fact that we're done going through some of this stuff here. But this has been a very fun two-part series to go over, man.
That's all I got, man. I just wanted to put the data out there for the people. Rookie hit rates based on warp. So we have them out there. DB's got them in his Wrinkle Brains channel. Go check that out. Check out his incredible work. And if you sweet talk him, you might get your year two data specifically, how they did. There's plenty of stuff DB can do with this. You just got to be nice to him, man. You got to be nice. I was nice to him, and he put this whole thing together for me in like a week, like an animal. So, he's incredible. Shout out to him.
Go shout out DB. Give him a you know, add at the Discord, add on Twitter or something. Dynasty Barry.
Yeah, if you can send him some like Swedish Zen, like some high powered ones, being in Canada, I'm sure you'd take it. I don't know how customs works, but maybe you can get his address.
Yeah, if you think you got the sweet talk game, you can definitely get the DB's heart. I've seen it happen before for sure.
I believe it.
And just remember, when your league mates are playing chess, play 4D chess.
That's going to do it. We'll bounce out of this thing. We'll see y'all back here same time, same place next week. Episode 119. 4D chess.